And I'm going to sing a song to you that I think you'll enjoy. Okay? And if you don't, you can just, never mind. But it's a song I learned way back when I first got saved. And it goes like this. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old robe and put on the new. The old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn. The new robe was spotless, had never been worn. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old robe and put on the new. So, I know. You know what? That's like a little kid song, but I still sing it. Yeah, obviously. But I mean, I sing it to myself when I'm walking down the hall or when I'm, you know. And that's a reference probably to Mark 10, where the blind man was sitting by the side of the road coming out of Jericho. And Jesus was passing by and he started hollering, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody's going, shut up. Right? And then he yelled louder, Jesus, thou son of David. Sometimes you got to do that. And anyway, finally, Jesus stopped and he said, come on up here, you know. And there's a little verse, I think it's verse 49 or 50, but it's a real small little verse that says, and he rising up, or he casting off his garment, came to Jesus. And a lot of times people read right over that. Well, let me tell you why that's important. Okay? Just like in today's world, if you were walking down the sidewalk and you saw someone with a white stick with a red end on it and they're kind of walking like this, right? You would know that they are, yeah. And so you would hold the door for them or, you know, try to help them out in any way. Well, in Israel, they had the same kind of thing going on. You'd wear a certain kind of garment that would identify you as whatever, a blind person. And so when he came to Jesus, he took it off, because you know why? He wasn't going to be blind anymore. Yeah. You know what? And it's just that simple act of faith. He went, oh boy, he heard my voice, and I don't need this anymore. And you know, sometimes that's important, because think of your own identity. Because that's what that was to this man. That was his identity. That's how he made a living. That's how he existed, was that garment that he had on. You following me? And there's times when all of us have to go, eh, I don't need this anymore. I got Jesus. I got a brand new life. Whatever I was wearing before don't matter anymore. So we put on a new robe, and the new robe is spotless. You know? I'm not spotless, but the robe is. And as long as I keep in the robe, I'm doing okay. So anyway, God's good. Yeah, we're all good. Well, actually, none of us are good, but God's good. You know, I deal with that. By the way, I'm going to be doing a little. I'm a chaplain at the Salt Lake County Jail. Most of you know that. Some of you might not. We're going to talk a little bit about jail stuff today. And Don made an announcement. Where'd that little thingy go? Oh, here it is. Watch this. Hot dog. So coming up here next Friday evening is our Good News annual fundraiser banquet. And some of you have been to those before, and it's a fun event because there's a lot of people come together. There's a lot of, you know, good news. Part of our mandate, you know, evangelism is our first one, discipleship's our second one, and church mobilization is our third one. Because, you know, God wants the whole body of Christ involved in ministry, right? We're going to look at that a little bit here later on, but that's what the church is on earth for. You know, I heard a guy say once at a conference that the church is a battleship, not a cruise ship. And it's pretty true, right? And a lot of times we kind of, people think it's a cruise ship, but it's not. You know, we have an enemy that's alive and well in this world. Well, he's not well, but he is alive. And he's, you know, it's still going on. And so, yeah, he's still roaming around. But, you know, we have a calling. And so Anyway, back to the banquet. Sorry, I do rabbit trails. You know, anyone's invited here. We Liberty Church, you know, we have a table or two set aside. So there's a sign-up sheet out there on the table, and there's some little cards that are out there. And if you need one, come see me or Debbie. We have them too. But if you need a, we just ask that you would please register or sign up. You don't have to register online. If you just signed up, that'd be great. But if you do sign up, you're committing to coming, okay? Because we got to order food. The food's expensive, and you know we don't want to have a bunch of throwaway food there. So, but it's a fun night. You know, this year it's so cool what God's been doing. Is, you know, normally we try to have somebody from the sheriff's department. Usually the sheriff comes and speaks. She loves us. She thinks we're the bomb. Yeah, and then we always have some testimonies, people that have been in jail, you know, God moved in their life. This year we had too many people to choose from. We had to narrow it down, which is really exciting because, you know, yay God, right? And I could tell you a lot of stories, but God's doing good stuff. But long story short, you're invited. There's no cost, right? You don't have to buy a ticket. You don't have to do anything. You just come. And it's casual dress. You don't have to dress up fancy. You don't have to do anything special. But you are invited, and so sign up, and we'll see you there Friday. So one of the things we do, I'm going to just talk a little bit about what chaplaincy looks like, because a lot of times people wonder, what does a chaplain do anyway, right? Anybody wonder that? And one time I was walking down the hall in the jail, and a lot of people, you know, the jail's a big place. It holds about, right now we're at about 2,000 inmates, and the staff is probably on a daily, runs about 350 to 400 in the daytime little. So there's a lot of people in there. There's medical, there's library, there's food service people. There's just, it's like a little city, okay? A weird city, but it's like a little city. And so one day I'm walking down the hall, and one of the mental health nurses came up to me and goes, you know, you're the chaplain, right? And you go, yeah. And he goes, well, what is it the chaplains do? And I had my Bible with me, and I said, well, usually I'll go in there and I hit him upside the head with the Bible. And I said, if it doesn't work, I put a piece of steel in it and hit him again. And she looked at me like, what? You know, she didn't get my sense of humor or lack of the same. But I finally said, no, you know, we're Christian. You know, we counsel people. We share the Lord with them. Anyway, it's always fun to be weird. And you can be weird in the jail, just let me, in case you're wondering. But you know, we have a message that matters. And that's the important thing, you know, it's what we do, why we're there, you know, just our presence there makes a difference. So what a chaplain does, and this is the interesting thing, because there's some chaplains here in the room. Susan's a chaplain, my wife Debbie's a chaplain. Any other chaplains? But, you know, chaplains, believe it or not, they can go where pastors cannot. Like, there's no pastor in town can walk inside the jail and go do what we do. They can't do it. They won't let them. But because we're part of their team, right, we're contracted with the county to do chaplaincy services, we can walk into any housing unit inside the jail and go, yeah, I want to talk to this guy. And they say, okay. And it's like tremendous access there. It's a wonderful position. So chaplains have, and you know, so basically we're like pastors to the jail. I joke around sometimes that we have the biggest church in town. But nobody goes home. It says all the services are so good, nobody even leaves. One of the things we deal with is diet requests. Or book requests, or all kinds of different requests, religious things. And so I copied a few kites. A kite is a prisoner request form. And the prisoner will write their name and where they're housed, and then on the back they'll say, you know, chaplain, I want to visit, or I need a Bible, or a daily bread, or whatever. But we get a few funny ones once in a while. We have a whole list of them. But this one, I don't know if you could read the top one. But the guy asked, could I please get a couple self-portraits of Jesus Christ? And I think we wrote back something like, I don't know if there's any self-portraits out there, but anyway. And then the one underneath it, this guy asked for literature on pastafarians, or pastafarians. Anybody know what a pastafarian is? Okay, their deity is the flying spaghetti monster. And I'm not joking. I had to look it up. I was laughing, who's a pastafarian? But actually, some prisoners back east started this because he was bummed out that, you know, Jewish prisoners would get kosher food and Muslim prisoners get halal food. And it's like, well, I want a religion. So he created this pastafarianism. And seriously, if you look it up, their deity is the flying spaghetti monster. And I don't know how far that got in the Supreme Court, but that was a real thing, okay? This one was kind of funny. You have to think about it for a minute because we give out Bibles. Please bring me a Reina Valera in English. If you don't know what a Reina Valera is, it's the Spanish Bible. It predates the King James by about 50 years. Anyway, we thought that one was pretty funny. And this guy was covering all the bases. I need a Quran, a New Testament, a Book of Mormon, you spelled that wrong, and anything you have on Buddha. And I thought, Buddha? What in the world is Buddha? And finally dawned on me, it was Buddha. You know, the guy who wanted Buddha. And you know, believe it or not, because we're chaplains, that we have to try to take care of everybody's spiritual needs. And we give out Qurans, we give out, well, if we have them, we don't go out of our way to get these books. A lot of times we'll just send them to the library. But for guys that want Qurans, a lot of times I'll use it as a vehicle to talk to them. Okay, the Quran talks about Jesus, Isa, and it talks about the book, and it talks about the people of the book. And if they're real Muslims, if they really know their stuff, I'll go out and talk to them, and I'll go, hey, I got a question for you. He goes, it talks about people of the book. Well, who's he talking about? And most of the time, they'll say Jews and Christians. I go, okay. And I go, well, what book are they talking about? The Bible. And I go, well, have you ever read it? You know, well, no. Oh, how come, you know? And you know, it's an effective way, and they don't know. But believe it or not, a lot of them are curious. They want to find out. I'll take them a Bible. You know, instead of being mad at them, talk to them about Jesus. This one is one of my favorites. I need a pocket Bible and a Hail Mary on a chain. He must have been a devout Catholic, I think. We have another one similar that I couldn't show you, but it was pretty funny. And my all-time favorite, we have a couple of them that are pretty wild, but one of my favorite ones was, and we didn't do this, fortunately, but it was a lieutenant that was over the food service and all that. And a guy wrote a kite asking, what he said was, I would like to have a vegetarian tray because I don't want to eat anything that has a face. And the guy wrote back, well, that shouldn't be a problem. We always chop the heads off first. So, yeah, whatever it takes, right? And but there's also times when it's not fun. I mean, it's never really fun in there, if that's the right word. You know, there's times when there's tragedy, when there's bad stuff happens, and we have to be there for that too. And so part of why we do a banquet, just so you know, and then I'm going to move on here. But, you know, Good News chaplains are like missionaries. We don't get county money. We don't get government money of any kind. We don't get any outside or any government tax dollars, anything like that. Because, and some of you already know this, there's a lot of chaplains, like military chaplains, even chaplains that are hired by state prisons and stuff, they can't pray in the name of Jesus anymore because somebody might be offended. Well, because we're not paid by any tax dollars, they can't tell us that. So, you know, we have a couple volunteers in the room. Don has been one. My wife's been one for 21 years now. Yeah, I know. It's crazy, huh? And how long you been coming in there? Long time. Wow. Yeah, and so, you know, but it's a good thing. We can go in there and we can tell them about Jesus. We can preach the gospel straight up. We don't have it. And we pray for them. And you know what? God does stuff. Okay? He does stuff. Really good stuff. And you know, I just want to remind you that God's always doing good. Right? In Acts chapter, I think it's the end of chapter 3. But it's talking about Jesus. And it says in the King James anyway, it says, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And you know, one of our four square mantras that we should have it on the wall somewhere, how come we don't? Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Huh? Oh, down the hall, okay. I know, I just realized, hey, where's that scripture? Yeah. So Jesus is still going about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Only we get to share with them. Isn't that the best thing since sliced bread? We get to be part of that. We're his body. And so, you know, we get to join in with what he's been doing all along. And that's what what brings me to why I do the sermon. Did I leave anything out about the chaplain things? I could go on and on. Yeah, just keep me in jail. Actually, it has side benefits. I probably told you this before, but when I first started as a chaplain, you know, we used to, and we don't get very many anymore, but we used to get calls from telemarketers, and Debbie would answer the phone, and they'd say, is your husband there? He goes, no, he's in jail. And they don't call back, hallelujah. So that's been really great. And but, you know, right now we have... there's three chaplains. There's me, a guy named Nick Higgins, a woman named Mary Chalier. We have roughly 50 volunteers right now. Since COVID, the jail reopened back in November of 22. We are starting to get up to speed again. COVID really did a number on everybody, but we are starting to get, you know, good coverage in the jail. A lot of people are showing up. People are getting saved. You know, it's just so cool. You know, I'd love to, and just, there's people in this room that have, you know, been there, done that. But you know what? The whole thing is, you know, we're all working together. And that's partly why we have the banquet. It's partly why you have the Run for the Sun for CMA. It's why we have the prayer meeting. It's why we have the Bible study. It's why, because we're a family and we have things to do on this earth that are going to bless the earth, that are going to change people's lives. And ultimately, that's what it's all about. I want to take as many people with me as I can. Because all I ever want to hear at the end of this mess is, well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, can you imagine not hearing that? Yeah. But you don't have to be a professional minister. You don't have to be, you just got to be a Christian. You got to be a follower of Jesus. You got to know him. And you'll do the right thing automatically. When Jesus comes in your life, you can't help yourself. You might struggle, you might fight, you might kick and scream once in a while, but you will, he'll win. You know? He's bigger than we are. I'm glad. So, oops. So, I want to just get some real basic stuff going on here. Something the Lord put on my heart about Matthew 25. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Very familiar passage of Scripture. If you read, a lot of times in your Bible, some people have a study Bible, it'll say the final judgment. I don't know if any of your Bibles say that. And if you read commentaries, it'll say the same thing. But the truth is, in those passages here, Matthew 25 was 31 through 49 or something like that. The word judgment's not in there, actually. But Jesus says he's going to gather all nations before him. And all the angels will be there. I don't know how many angels there are, but I think there's a lot. Like, possibly billions. I don't know how many angels are going to be there. But there are going to be a lot of them. And everybody's going to show up. And the Lord's going to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be on his right hand, the goats will be on his left. What I really noticed about this as we go along, that he didn't judge anyone. We all judged ourselves. Everybody there already made their statement in life. Did you give me water when I was thirsty? Did you visit me when I was in prison? When I was sick, did you pray for me? Did you come see me? Right? The little things sometimes we think are so mundane and so, you know, people like, well, not me, I don't, but some people want to be up in front of everybody else. They want to have personal recognition, okay? And sometimes, you know, going to the hospital or going to talk to your neighbor or taking them some food or whatever it might be, you don't get a lot of recognition. Sometimes they don't even thank you. Sometimes they get mad at you. Doesn't matter. So, you know, Jesus broke it down so simple. In one place he said, if you give a cup of water to somebody in the name of a disciple, you won't lose your reward. How simple is that? And yet, but see, it reveals something about your heart. Because that's always where it comes from. What's in your heart? Do you care for that person next to you, or you don't care? You know, really in the Bible, when Cain killed his brother, God asked him a question. Where's your brother? Right? He didn't ask him, why did you do it? He didn't ask him, okay, he didn't, but where's your brother? And he gave the wrong answer. How should I know? Am I my brother's keeper? Whoa. Wrong answer. But that's really, when you look at humanity, that's what you got. You got people that are their brother's keeper, people that aren't. Now, you know, I'm talking to the choir here. You're in church. You love the Lord. The Lord loves you. You know that. You want to be your brother's keeper. But that's pretty much what you're looking at here, the same thing. And ultimately, if you really, this is what gets really crazy, is Jesus said, you did it to me. If you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You know, one of the things when I interview somebody to be a volunteer, I'll ask them a question. They go, can you see Jesus? There's a guy over there in a uniform. And he's all tatted up and he doesn't look real good. And maybe he's just coming off drugs and he's, you know, giving you problems in class. Can you see Jesus there? Is that guy Jesus? You know, sometimes we think we have those pictures of Jesus. That's like the one guy wanted, right? The nice combed hair and the nice cloth beard, you know. I don't think he looked like that at all. But it doesn't matter what he looked like. It's what he looked like in here. It's, you know, when he walked up to people, even the publicans and sinners, the ones that were esteemed the lowlifes of the society, they all ran to Jesus. How crazy is that? Because he didn't judge them. He didn't condemn them. He loved them. And hey, you're salvation. I know you. Because that's what his name means. Right? The salvation of God. And they would, hey, whatever you are, I want what you've got. And what's really cool, all that came to him were made whole. All. Everybody that came to Jesus was made whole. Thank you. So, you know, that's good news. It's not on me to make you whole. It's on him. But we get to share. So, then the king will say to those on the right hand, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What's really crazy about this is God's been working on this kingdom for a really long time. And he made you to fit into that kingdom. Right? When Nicodemus in John 3 came to Jesus one night and said, hey, we know you're somebody special. We know you're somebody come from God. You know, nobody can do what you're doing. And Jesus said, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Like, what? Because there's this beautiful thing, this beautiful kingdom that God's had going ever since, before any of us were around. He's been working on this thing for a long time. He didn't just go, what should I do now? You know, And so the kingdom's prepared for you, and you are being prepared for the kingdom. Yes, thank you, Lord. We get born again. I get a new spirit. I fit right into the kingdom of God. That's where we belong. Right? That's what most people in the world, they know there's something wrong. They know they belong somewhere, and where they're at is not where it is, especially in jail. This is not where I'm supposed to be, right? Well, because God has some place for you, and that's why the good news is good news, because there's something so simple and yet so profound, and it's all around us all the time. That's what Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, the other day we were doing a class, and I was talking to about Matthew 18. If you're not familiar with Matthew 18, it's where the disciples asked Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Which, if you think about it, that's a dumb question, right? Because Jesus is standing right there. But Jesus would never say me, and he still wouldn't say me. But what he did was he took a little toddler, a little kid, you know, about probably 1 year old, maybe 15 months, who knows. But he took a little kid, set him down. He goes, except you become like that little kid. You can't enter in. And I'm sure all those grown men were like, oh, man, you know, now what is he talking about? But, you know, I finally saw something so simple. Because, you know, all of us, when we're born into this world, you're born with a plan that God purposed for your life. That's according to 2 Timothy 1:9. He's called us with holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So he started a kingdom before the world began, and he's got something in your plan for you before the world began. And that what makes hell hell is the fact that you didn't get what already belonged to you, what you were made for in the first place. Okay? But here's what I began to realize is every one of us, when we're born in this world, little kids don't try to figure everything out. You know, they just, right? When your kids, even before they can talk, they just come to you and go, right? And you know exactly what they want. You know? Or they start screaming, I got poopy pants, you know? Whatever it is, you know, it's not hard to figure out. We'll talk later. But, you know, the point is this, is that all of us, because here's what happens, and maybe some of you, you know, we can all relate to this. You start out, because little kids believe. They believe what you say. Their faith hasn't been all corrupted and beat up and damaged. You know, they just, you tell them stuff, they believe it. But as time goes on, the world just piles crap on you. And I'd rather use a different word, but I'll just use that. You just get doubt, and you get they teach you to lie. You know, how many of your parents ever said, tell them I'm not home? Stuff like that. Little things, right? But you learn to lie. You learn to be deceitful. You learn to cover up because somebody made fun of you. So you learn to bury that little kid that you just was like the little kid Jesus was pointing at. They just had simple faith. Wasn't all corrupted. Wasn't no baggage. Just right? And so all of us are walking around wondering, who in the heck are we? That's really what's going on. I don't know who I am anymore. Anybody ever kind of go through those things? You know, I used to wonder that before I got saved, I'd be on coming off of drugs or something, and I'm laying in my bed going, what in the world am I doing? Who am I? I didn't like what I saw in the mirror. I didn't like that guy. But I didn't know how to change, so the next day I go back out and do it again. Thinking this is what life is all about. Until I met Jesus, and things got good. But you know what? That's when God talks, and you think about this, okay? When God talks to you, I'll tell you who he's talking to, that little Kenny, way down inside there, the little Don, the little Clark, right? Because he knows who you really are. And when he speaks into your life, he's going, hey, I know you're in there. Come on. Really? I can do that? He wants us to just come to him the way we are. And he'll get rid of all the other stuff. He will. Trust me. Sometimes it's not fun, but he still gets rid of it. And I'm not going to get my sermon then, am I? So, you know, I realized something the other day. I made a note to myself. And I'm going to make this fast, okay? And I'm talking to everybody here. Some people have been saved a long time. Some people maybe not so long. It doesn't matter. If I could tell my young self something, it would be this. Do what matters to Jesus. What makes life worth living is doing what matters to Jesus. What makes your life satisfying is doing what matters to Jesus. You want to prosper? You want to do well in life? Do what matters to Jesus. It's all through the scriptures. He said it this way in Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Oh, cool. You mean I don't have to seek all these things? No, you don't. We do the things that matter. And your life will be blessed. And you know, I struggled with that for a long time because we all have things we want to do, right? I have things that are important to me. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want a big house. I want this. I want that. And so we start chasing things that aren't what necessarily going to do us any good. But when we do the things that matter to Jesus, that's what matters to the world. And that's what Matthew 25 is all about when he's talking to the sheep. Did you do what mattered to me? Or you didn't do what mattered to me? Right? It's not, you know, this is so simple. I hope it's coming across because I was thinking, gosh, Lord, everybody knows that stuff. But at some level, we don't. We get caught up in our lives. We get caught up doing things and we forget that it's just those simple little things every day. For I was hungry. I don't even know which light I got up there. Oh, sorry. I'm really... There we go. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. You was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. You know, I was thinking about just our little church here. You know, we can check pretty much most of these boxes. It's not about the church so much, but any healthy Christian church, just so you know, any church that's doing what they're supposed to be doing, they'll be checking these boxes right here. They're going to be feeding people. They're going to be giving clothes away. They're going to be visiting people in prison. They're going to be, you know, go to the hospital, whatever, right? Those are just... And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you? You know, there's a level of humility there. It's not about being noticed. It's not about being important. It's not about having a position. In fact, having a position can be awful that people expect of you. But, and the king shall answer them, did I click? Sorry, I'm a terrible clicker. Truly I say to you, you did it. As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And I love that because Jesus identifies himself so much with his church that they're mine. They're my brethren, my sisters. Okay? Don't mess with my family. Right? So this one's out of Matthew 7. We're on a Matthew kick here. But Jesus said it this way, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can read this as well as I can. And you know, a lot of the stuff they did, they prophesied, they cast out demons, they did mighty works. Nothing wrong with that. Now, but those things are like, you know, people like the flashy stuff, or what we in the Christian world would be, right? Flashy stuff. But it doesn't mean they did it because God sent them to do it. They just did it to be seen. There's a story in the book of Acts like that. These guys were going around casting out devils, thinking, man, we're bad, right? Until they found one that said, hey, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but I know you guys. And that didn't go so well for them that day. But again, you know, what we do, you know, when God judges the world, he won't have to judge the world. We're already judging ourselves. And so then later on here, in the next, at the end of the chapter here, He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine, this is a conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, and does them, he hears the words and he does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. Okay? First of all, the words that Jesus was preaching, that's what the rock is. His word is unmovable. It's still the same that it was 3,500 years ago, it was 4,000 years ago, it doesn't matter. God's word doesn't change. It endures for how long? Forever. Yes, thank you. Yeah. And so, you know, I want to make a plug for Bible study here. We were, in our Wednesday night Bible study, we spent the last few years going through the Old Testament. We started in Genesis. We spent like 2 months, was it, on chapter 1? Yeah. And but anyway, we've been going through the whole Old Testament. And then we did Mark, and now we're back, and we're going to finish out the history of Israel with Ezra, starting with Ezra. But we were talking about what makes, you know, what did you learn by studying the Old Testament? Because a lot of people have never even read the Old Testament, right? They're not quite sure what's in there. Or what is in there kind of scares them, so they will just read the New Testament. Yeah. But you know what? Here's what one of the things we came up with is this, and why you read the Bible in general. God was faithful. Israel was horrible, right? He makes a promise to Abraham. He delivers them out of Egypt, you know, 400 years later. He gets them out in the wilderness. They're all rebelling. They're all complaining. They're all whining. But he brings their kids into the promised land. He gives them all this land, and then they forget God, and they go out and they do these horrific things. And if you read the kings, you know, I mean, David was a pretty good king. Solomon was pretty good. Toward the end, he had a little wiggle there. But then after that, things went south. Okay? And his people got into terrible idolatry and corruption, and right, they were all taking bribes, and everything was going to pot. God never stopped being faithful. Not one time did God ever relent on any of his promises, on any of his goodness, on any of his mercy. Did he bring judgment? Did he bring correction? Yeah, absolutely, he did. And I'm glad he does. He loves us enough to not let us go south. He'll rein you back in, and that's not always a fun thing, but it's because he loves us, not because he hates us. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you that's one of the reasons you read is because you see God doing what God does. He can't lie. And your faith is strengthened. You see how God was faithful all the way from the beginning to the end. And so when you pray, you said you'd answer. Yeah, okay. He did it for this guy, and he was a terrible guy. You know, what's interesting about this parable, and I'm going to close. Everyone who hears these words and does them. You know, he's not talking to building contractors here about the right way to build a house. And he's not talking about houses. He's talking about your life, right? What are you building your life on? Because the same things happened to both people. The floods came, the winds blew, the storms. People that did what Jesus said and people that didn't. You're not going to be exempt from stuff in this life because you're a Christian. As a matter of fact, you might even get a little more weirdness because you get persecuted. Your neighbors won't treat you right. Your kids are going to get made fun of at school. Whatever happens, there's all kinds of ways it happens. Some countries it's worse than here, but it's going to get bad. And that's just the way it is. Jesus said it would, so, you know, deal with it. But we do the simple things. We do what matters to Jesus. And so if I could just leave you with anything, you know, that's what makes your life worth living. And every one of us in this room, everybody on the planet, right, God paid a big price to get you. You're worth a lot. You're valuable to God. We think we have to be something. Don't compare yourself to other people. That's a big mistake. You know, you might think, well, that person's, they're really got it together. When in reality, they're just full of all kinds of weird stuff. You know? Don't always judge a book by its cover. So, anyway, can I pray for you? And then, band, you want to worship team? Band. Rock and roll. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for whatever, all the things you do every day, all the time. And Lord, we're just grateful that you keep your word, you do what you say. Lord, thank you for redeeming our lives from the hand of the enemy. And Lord, I just pray your blessing on every soul in this room and those that couldn't be here today. Lord, especially Michael, Pastor Michael and his mom, and all the stuff that's going on there. We just lift them up to you today and ask for your just grace, grace, grace over that family right now. Father, thank you that you're always aware of where we are and what's going on. There's never a time when you're not fully aware of who we are and where we are. So, Lord, we just thank you. Help us to just be mindful of those things that matter to you all the time, Lord, that that's our heart. And thank you, Lord, that you're mindful of us. So, Lord, we just thank you. I just ask your grace and favor on every soul here today. In Jesus' name, amen.